I challenge you to a duel.
It's the only argument I need! I don't want to talk to you no more, you...
You got a lot of nerve.
Soon you will know what it's like to be defeated.
Stop defending him, Sean!
All right, let's go.
Welcome everybody to the Sleeper Wire Show. It is the first Great Debate of the 2020 season. I am pumped for this to finally be back. I'm your host, Professor Chris, and with me for the first Great Debate of 2020, Greg. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Happy to be here. Excited to get some debate on. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. We had a blast with the, week one is in the books. We got some wide receivers to pick up off the waiver wire. We also had some running back injuries, but we decided to go with wide receivers for this first Great Debate. And we're doing Marquez Valdez-Scantling versus Robbie Anderson. So if you're unfamiliar with the Great Debate, the way this works is it's a debate style argument. So What we do is, like, I get 2 minutes to argue for my player. Greg gets 90 seconds for a rebuttal. And then we flip. And then we end up with final thoughts on our player. So it's like a debate style setup. We're not just, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There's a nice structure to it. And we're giving, objective, unbiased, just facts for and against these players. And like I said, we are doing wide receivers this week. I have MVS, and Greg, you have Robbie Anderson, and I am going to kick us off here. So it was a good 2020 debut by the third-year wide receiver out of South Florida. 4 catches on 6 targets for 96 yards and a touchdown, finishing the week with 19.6 points against a good Minnesota team, a game in which Aaron Rodgers just shredded the Vikings defense. However, this is not the first time we've seen MVS have a big game. 2018, he had 7 for 68 and a touchdown, 3 for 103, 3 for 101. Last year, 6 for 99 and a touchdown on 10 targets, 2 for 133. He has the ability to get it done for you any given week. And a few of those I just mentioned were on just a couple catches, but over 100 yards. We talk about speed guys like Tyreek Hill, DeSean Jackson, Marquise Brown, Henry Ruggs. Well, guess what? MVS ran a 4.37 at the NFL Combine. He is absolutely a speed guy. He's a burner. He's got the ability to just outrun defenders, evidenced by his career 16.1 yards per reception. Now, a bunch of us here at SleeperWire, including me, have been touting Alan Lazard all summer, saying that he'll be solid because he's the number 2 option for Aaron Rodgers, and the number 2 option for Rodgers has historically been a good fantasy option. We saw that, early on in his career with Greg Jennings. We saw it with Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, and then Cobb and Davante Adams. And now we could be seeing it with Davante Adams and the number 2 for the Packers. Well, the number 2 in week 1 was not Alan Lazard. It was Marquez Valdez-Scantling. 6 targets versus 4 targets. We saw reports towards the end of training camp that MVS was actually making the run for the Packers wide receiver 2 spot after many thought he'd be 4th in line in targets after Adams, Lazard, and Aaron Jones. He's in his third year now, and we always hear about that third-year wide receiver breakout. This could be the year for MVS to step up into the number 2 role for Green Bay. If that starts to happen... All right, Greg, give me that rebuttal.
All right, MVS. Targeted and successfully mostly on post or go routes. You look at on next-gen stats, you see what he's been... where he runs a lot, and a lot of them are post and go routes. So therefore, you're going to have a very up and down success rate with MVS. For one, I'm not a fan of that. That's an opinion. So the Packers are ahead. Will MVS produce? No. They're going to run the ball. They're going to do short games. So that's a fact there. Panthers spread the ball around more compared to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers only wants to target Adams and Aaron Jones, and then he'll sprinkle it out for the rest of everybody else. This week, MVS had 6 targets versus Lazard had, 4 targets. MVS, as I said, boom or bust. Look at last year, only targeted 56 times and caught only 26 of them, which is less than half the catch rate. One of the goats is throwing to him even. So it's kind of one of those things where you can't say, oh, it's out of reach all the time. You can't say that about him. Aaron Rodgers is an accurate quarterback. He's going to throw the ball to MVS, not always out of reach. And then his rookie year, he had 71 targets and 38 catches. Still not great. Not a great catch rate. Yes, he has speed going for him, but the problem is Packers have not been had a solid wide receiver too since, Chris mentioned it, Jordy Nelson. Will that happen? I have my doubts. It hasn't happened for a long time since then. Last year, he only had 10%.
All right, let's move over to Robbie Anderson. And Greg, take it away.
Robbie Anderson, wide receiver to Carolina Panthers. Played for the Jets 2016 to 2019. Played at Temple with current head coach Matt Rhule, who was a head coach at Temple at the time. Matt Rhule brings him in despite having Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, and Curtis Samuel. He ran a 4.36, not the combine, but hand times, but still pretty fast. DJ Moore runs about the same speed, so it's peculiar why they would bring in Robbie Anderson. So Matt Rhule knew the guy, coached him up, and wanted him in again, and you saw why on Sunday. 6 out of 8 targets, 115 yards, and a touchdown. 75 of those yards came from one play, which was caught at the 25 yards, and ran for 50 more. If he keeps up this pace, he'll have 128 targets for the whole season, which is wide receiver 1 numbers, which is also 25% of the target share. So that's week 1. It can change next week. After all, you have DJ Moore and Samuel there, and of course, Christian McCaffrey. But Robbie has produced in New York before this. He has a lot of boom-bust weeks like I talked about, and very much so. In fact, these three wide receivers were targeted, I'm talking about DJ Moore and Samuel here, 79% of the time this past Sunday. So no real reason to see his numbers dip at all, in my opinion, because he had 8 targets. He's going to keep consistently getting those targets. They like to spread the ball around very evenly so far, like what we've seen. I don't want to talk too much about the Jets' numbers due to Robbie's not there anymore, and we saw what their offense is not capable of doing, and that's producing very well at all. Sam Darnold is okay. It's kind of meh. Robbie was the only threat there. Here it's different. He's going to have a lot more open options with DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, and Curtis Samuel taking away some of the pressure. I like him this year. He'll be a great flex. Yes. But his average depth of target this year was 14 yards per average depth of target. That's amazing.
All right, so let me start off by saying I love Robbie Anderson. I've been touting him for a long time, years now. He's a great talent. But this week has the potential to be a fluke game. 6 for 115 and a touchdown is awesome. But that one game accounted for more than 10% of the yards if you compare it to his best season, which was in 2017. He just doesn't have huge games like this that often. Even if he led the Panthers in targets, he's still behind DJ Moore, possibly even Curtis Samuel, who the Panthers for some reason love. And he's definitely behind Christian McCaffrey. He's by far the third option on this offense, even after a great game. He's had issues with drops, 4 dropped passes on 96 targets last season. However, there's not a lot of bad I can say about Robbie Anderson, though. This was a tough one for me. I can usually look into the stats and find things I don't like about a guy, but I do really like Robbie Anderson. I'll say that both of these guys are solid options and need to be added this week, but there's a better chance that MVS is available, and the wide receiver 2 or 3 for Aaron Rodgers always has more upside or potential than the wide receiver 2 or 3 for Teddy Bridgewater. All right, let's move into final thoughts. I'm going to take it back to MVS here. Like I said, he's in his third year now for that third year wide receiver breakout. If he steps into the number 2 role for Green Bay, we're going to see his snap percentage increase from the 60% mark that he had the first half of last season when he was pretty solid. Even if he is the third option on the depth chart, though, the Packers used at least 3 wide receivers on 61% of their plays. That's a pretty significant amount. That means, in theory, that MVS would still be on the field 61% of the time, and that's if he stays at the wide receiver 3 on the team and doesn't make the leap over Lazard to second on the depth chart after Adams. Aaron Rodgers looks like he's back. He looked awesome. He looks like the Rodgers from a few years ago. If he stays like this, then all starting receiving options in Green Bay will be playable. The Packers also no longer have that deadweight Mike McCarthy at the helm. They switched to Matt LaFleur last season, who helped the team to a 13-3 record. LaFleur spent his assistant coaching years being quarterback's coach and receiver's coach for various teams. This guy knows how to get the best out of his quarterbacks and his wide receivers. He's done it for a long time. That's great for any starting wide receiver on his team. LaFleur worked as an offensive coordinator for the Rams under Sean McVay in 2017, and that Rams offense was a powerhouse that season, scoring over 30 points 9 times. This guy knows how to get it done for his offense. Look, the guys you draft with your last picks each season are guys who have upside. Guys like Hunter Renfrow, Curtis Samuel, and Randall Cobb. Well, who has more upside? Guys like that or MVS, who shined in his first game of 2020. You draft those guys hoping for a fast start to the season, and you can easily drop them if they don't perform week one. They are all droppable for MVS. He's only 7% owned right now compared to Robbie Anderson's 31%. Go grab him if you're looking to strengthen your wide receiver core.
I want to say one positive thing about Marquise Scouting Scantling. He hasn't missed a game due to injury at all his whole 3 years as a Green Bay Packer so far. He has not got an injury bug once. That's one thing I can definitely say. And the best, and I always say this, best ability, it's availability. The guy is always available. So not, I wanted to say that last earlier, but I messed it. And I wanted to mention that. I do like him. I like Robbie more. Anyways, back to Robbie. With all the weapons in Carolina's offense, defenses can't cover them all. I know I mentioned that earlier, but he's an excellent flex option. You have a 3 flex and you have to start 2 wide receivers, 2 running backs. He's going to be a great flex option. There's no reason you can't go ahead and slot him in there. And he did target, have tied for second most targets with Curtis Samuel. CMC only had 4 targets this past game. You look at what new OC, Joe Brady, what he did at LSU is top 2 receivers had the most targets, then followed by running back and another wide receiver. Joe Brady loves targeting wide receivers. He showed it in week 1. Teddy B also loves targeting wide receivers. And on top of it all, Robbie Anderson's not just a go guy. He does out routes, he does curl routes, he does hooks, he does corners. You look at his routes. What he did this past week, it wasn't just deep threats. That's why he was targeted so often. Unlike the Jets, it was very much boom or bust. But new style, new system. I expect great things for Robbie Anderson this year, along with DJ Moore and the Carolina offense this year, since their defense is also going to be awful, as you guys saw on Sunday. Awful. Derek Carr made the Carolina Panthers look awful. And that's Derek Carr. Can imagine what someone else is going to do. So I think Robbie Anderson is somebody you should go out and start and into your flex. You have a good, deep, solid 11 starters. Start Robbie Anderson.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for this week's great debate. Thank you so much for tuning in. Follow us on Twitter at Sleeper Show. Greg is on there at Dino Mechanic, and I am Prof_ChrisSW. And you can find us on the Sleeper app as well at Dino Mechanic and Professor Chris. Greg, thank you so much for joining me for the first great debate of 2020. Everybody else, see ya.